T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It has been a long 4 months. However, I think that we're starting to see some more optimistic signs. In general, our proportion of positive tests has been going down. The past few weeks, we've been hovering at about 1% of positive tests, and we've been doing many, many more tests in the county. Usually over 2,000 a day tests are being done. So we're doing more testing, and we're seeing a smaller proportion that are positive. So that's a good sign. Also, the case fatality numbers are decreasing, and our hospitalization trends are, in general, since the beginning of the pandemic, have been decreasing, although over the past week we've seen a small uptick. So, and everybody's been working hard, but it's great to see that we're in phase four, and hopefully we can stay in phase four if people are able to continue to wear their masks and social distance no matter where they go.
Can you address what you just referred to as an uptick? Others have called a spike, and yet others call it a blip in the current COVID numbers locally. I mean, is there something to be concerned about locally?
So far over the past couple weeks, our hospital admissions have been hovering in the 30s level, somewhere between 30 and 40. Our hospital admissions from July 11th, or the last data that we have, reached up to 42. So we are trending higher than we have been. And again, we have to see if this is a persistent trend. I mean, we know that another trend that we've been seeing among our hospitalized patients is that we're seeing a higher proportion who are in the age group of between 20 and 40. So in the past, that's been a minority. Under 5% of all the people hospitalized for COVID-19 have been in their 20s and 30s. And now there were 16% of all the COVID patients hospitalized in Erie County hospitals were between the ages of 20 and 44. So that's a concerning number, and it's really reflecting what we're seeing in terms of who is testing positive in the county. So we know that we're seeing an increasing proportion of people in their 20s and 30s, especially in their 20s, that are testing positive for COVID-19. And I know that in general, younger people who don't have any other pre-existing health conditions do better with COVID-19. They don't become as ill. However, we do see people who are very ill with COVID-19 are in that age group, and examples are the people now that are hospitalized, and then the people that are even they're younger and may not become as ill. Many times they live with people or come in close contact with people through work who are older, who have other pre-existing health conditions, and if they get infected, can become very, very sick. And again, it's spurring community transmission. What we're trying to do is break the chain of transmission. And this is a preventable disease. What we need to do is wear masks, social distance, wash your hands. And we know that there are and stay away from places outside of New York State that we know have very high rates of COVID-19. So the governor has issued travel advisories over the past couple weeks, listing states now up to 19. He may issue more later today, where they have very, very high rates of COVID-19 in those states. And people traveling there have a very high chance of getting infected because those states have high rates because people are not wearing wearing masks and they're not social distancing. And so it's very easy to become infected, especially since there's such a high proportion of people who are infected. So the governor and also Erie County Health Department, me personally, am asking people, if you're thinking about traveling to one of those states, change your plans. I mean, I think many of the airlines are still helping people to change their plans without any cost penalties, and it's just not worth the hassle. It's not worth the risk to your health. It's not worth the health of the people around you. So, that's another great thing that people can do to prevent transmission, break the chain of community transmission, is not travel to these states where we're seeing a lot of transmission in those communities. And we don't want people bring back imported cases of COVID-19. I mean, we have suffered so much. We've given up so much to get down to where we are now, to having just about 1% of all our tests being positive. And we just don't need people bringing in quote-unquote foreign cases or cases from outside the state and spurring the chain of transmission with our community and spiking the numbers up again. I mean, there's just, we just have to keep the numbers low, and we all have to do as much as we can.
The county health department shut down one bar over the weekend that I believe had been given a previous warning along with several other places as well. Can you kind of take us through that process of how many warnings a place might get before a shutdown occurs, and what you're looking for, what some of these places have been doing wrong?
Right. Well, I mean, the majority of what these places are doing wrong, I mean, the places that to which we issue violations or fines or have to close them down lately, I mean, they have not been masking, and they have not been compliant with the social distancing and the occupancy requirements. And so we receive many complaints. On the average, during the weekday, we receive about 25 complaints a day of people concerned about the practices in different restaurants and bars. And as of last week, Environmental Health has in the county has received over 1,100 COVID-related complaints. So we investigate all of those. Many of them were just able to manage by phone. However, if we're suspicious after talking on the phone, or if it's a place that is a known offender, we will send out our health inspectors, our sanitarians, to take a look. Sometimes we go out with law enforcement if we're expecting to find something bad. However, most of the restaurants that we investigate are actually doing the right thing, and they are actually in compliance with their customers wearing masks and their staff wearing masks and the appropriate social distancing and occupancy. So for first-time offenders, we issue a violation. For second-time offenders, we issue another violation and fines. And then, three strikes, you're out. And so, if we had, one or two violations already, two or three violations already, then we would have to work with law enforcement to close the facility. And we don't just close the house down and clear out the house because people aren't masking and they're not social distancing. We also try to make this a learning opportunity for these institutions, and so the facility is required in order to reopen to provide a written corrective action plan to our Erie County Health Department Environmental Health and about how they will avoid engaging in these behaviors that lead to these violations again. And so our environmental health staff will review, and they will have to approve these plans before the facility is allowed to reopen. Also, we inform the state liquor authority about the restaurants that have been closed and the restaurants where we issue violations.
Okay. There's a big focus right now on the reopening of schools. I want to get your take on this. A local school superintendent told us that, when it comes to reopening, he's going about making three different plans. But his concern is what happens when someone in the school tests positive. What's the protocol? Are you working with schools on this?
We have been working with our school districts since the beginning, even before the COVID pandemic. So we have a great relationship with them. What we're doing is we're going to wait to see what the state guidance is for schools reopening. That's supposed to come out later today, and we'll take a look at that and see what the state recommends in terms of what to do with if a child or a staff member test positive. So, we have an idea of what we should do, and we also know that we have to wait for the state guidance to really make a firm plan.
Speaking with Erie County Health Commissioner Dr. Gail Burstein, it seems like there's a lot of people, a lot of doctors and pediatricians too, who say not necessarily whatever it takes, but as much as possible, we need to get students back in school.
Right. Well, if you remember, a couple of weeks ago, the American Academy of Pediatrics published recommendations about what they feel should happen for schools reopening across the country if it's safe for schools to reopen again, if the COVID-19 rates are low enough for schools to reopen. I think there was a little bit of a misunderstanding with the public about that guidance, but pediatricians and I think teachers and parents all want to see students be able to return to school if possible, if it's safe. We know that students learn much better at school in face to face in front of a teacher. We also know that there's a lot of social support that students receive just being in a classroom, even if they have masks on, even if they're 6 feet apart from their classmates. There's still a lot of great interaction and great support that they can receive from their classmates. So this for students being able to return to school, it'll help their education, it'll help their learning, and it'll also help their social emotional well-being. And so that's why we think it's so important for students to be able to return to school if it's safe. And so there is a big if there. So we have to make sure that the prevalence rates or proportion of positive tests are staying down, our hospitalizations are staying down, and then we have to continue to do with the school reopening plans some type of surveillance to make sure that kids that are sick and faculty that are sick don't walk into the building.
We've heard from whether it's the governor or the lieutenant governor a number of times that a lot of the other things that could reopen around here, they're looking at what happens in other states, and these spikes in other states are giving them pause of reopening things around here. Schools, should that necessarily be the same thing? Because we're not exactly going to, take somebody from Texas and put them in a first grade classroom.
Right. Well, many of the states with high rates have not reopened their schools yet. It's summertime, so most schools are not in session yet. So we don't really have an example of a state where they have very high rates where it's felt that reopening the schools have contributed to those high rates. In those states, they can already identify, other factors that have led to those very high rates. So we'll have to see. And I think, we've established some good basic tenets about how to keep our COVID-19 rates down by masking, social distancing, washing your hands, keeping frequently touched surfaces clean. And I think hopefully if our rates continue to stay down, if we continue those practices in the schools will also remain a safe place.
Gail, at first we thought this was going to be weeks and then months. And now, we know it'll be into next year because we're waiting for a vaccine. But with that said, there was a poll out last week that said 27% of Americans said they definitely would not or probably would not get the vaccine when it becomes available. How much of a concern is that to you?
Well, we really need to make COVID-19 a vaccine-preventable disease in order to be able to reopen and return close to the lives that we had lived before COVID-19. So in order to do that, we not only need a vaccine, but we also need people to get immunized. We really need enough people immunized to reach a state of herd immunity. So the more people that are immunized, just like for any other vaccine-preventable disease, the less of a chance that the infection, the virus, will be able to take hold in a community. So it's really important that people trust our vaccine industry. I mean, all the vaccines that are FDA approved have been safe, effective, and we have to assume that the COVID-19 vaccine, and hopefully there'll be more than one, will also be safe and effective. I mean, we have to do this not only to protect ourselves, but to protect the people around us and to protect our community. I mean, we all want the same thing, right? We all want to be able to stay healthy, and we all want to eliminate COVID-19 from our community. And so the best way to do that, the most effective way to do that, is through immunizations. I mean, we've seen elimination of other vaccine preventable diseases through people being in high compliance with immunizations, like measles and mumps. I mean, we still have small outbreaks, but those are in communities where they have and pockets where they have low immunization rates. So we know that we have to continue our push to science has to continue their push to develop an effective and safe vaccine. And then once it's out in the health department, we will work very, very hard to help the community get immunized. I mean, we have we've been waiting for this all our lives at the Erie County Health Department. We before COVID-19, we have participated in drills simulating this with isolation, quarantine, and especially with distributing vaccines on a population-based basis. So when the vaccine is out and we're able to get a good supply, we will be ready to help the community get immunized. And it's really up to everybody. It's an altruistic thing. It's not just protecting yourself. It's protecting the people around you and protecting our community. So we can return to lives that we were familiar with that we engaged in before COVID-19. You know, hopefully some of the changes that we made from COVID-19 will stick. Hopefully people will be respectful of paid sick leave, and people will be encouraged not to come to work when they are ill. Hopefully we'll still be able to use telemedicine services, because that's been really helpful, especially for people who have difficulty traveling. And so there are some good things, hand washing practices that have happened from as a result of the changes we've had to make to keep ourselves healthy in COVID-19. However, we all want to get back to a life where we don't have to worry about every time we go out the door that we could be exposed to COVID-19, and the only way to do that is to get an effective vaccine and reach herd immunity in our community.
For sure. Speaking with Erie County Health Commissioner Dr. Gail Burstein, want to get some clarification on one thing, because there was a lot of questions going back a couple of weeks ago of some venues that are, I guess, technically bars or restaurants scheduling events with bands playing. Now, there were some events that were scheduled that had, everybody socially distant at different tables, following the rules and regulations and everything that was put forward, but they would have a band playing that was told not to happen, I believe, by the county, even though they had checked with the state liquor authority, who said it might be okay. What exactly, places like that, what is the rule and regulation when it comes to music being played inside of a venue if things are socially distant?
Right. So, again, we for bands playing inside a venue, they have to adhere to the governor's executive orders. So the band members themselves have to have a certain distance between themselves, and then band members have to have a certain distance between themselves and the audience. Especially if there's a vocalist. The vocalist has to be even, I think, 12 feet from everybody else, not just 6 feet apart. And then if if there is a venue where there's a band, then with any type of social, non-essential social gathering, the limit to that is 50 people. So that can be hard to do if you're going to be playing music, and so that's where the the issue may have arisen or the confusion may have arisen. But again, we're taking these actions, and we're trying to work hard and enforcement, you know, not to create unhappiness and prevent people from having fun. We're doing this to prevent transmission of disease. I mean, we all have the same goal. We all want to stay healthy and prevent transmission of COVID-19 in our community prevent ourselves and our loved ones from getting infected. And unfortunately, this is what we're going to have to do until COVID-19 becomes a vaccine-preventable disease.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.